Now, every film director who's ever made a movie will have a story to tell about how tough it was. It is always a complex undertaking, balancing high art with low finance. There are creative tensions on set. Even the weather can be a hassle. But I'm sorry, you've got nothing on Benjamin Gilmore. He set off to shoot a movie in the mountains of Pakistan. Tough enough. But when his financial backer pulled out, he was left with the choice to give up or double down on the dangers and the difficulty. Well, along with actor Sam Smith, he slipped over the border from Pakistan into Afghanistan to shoot a film about an Australian soldier looking for redemption. His film is called Jirga, and here's a little taste.
Are you a tourist in Kandahar?
I was a soldier. I'm here to confess. We did a raid on a village. I killed one of your brothers. That money's for them.
Why you come back here?
It's great stuff. Last year, Jirga was Australia's submission for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars. And just last week, it won Benjamin Gilmore the New South Wales Premier's Award for Screenwriting. Now, I spoke to Benjamin Gilmore last year, just before the film's release, and I asked him what it felt like when his financial backer initially pulled out.
I was sitting in a hotel room. Well, it was a room that belonged to the financial backer who had invited us there in the first place to shoot and was interested in working with us. And he'd told us that there was no way that he could fund the film now that the Secret Service had said, you can't shoot here.
So the Pakistani Secret Service?
Pakistani Secret Service, apparently, as the story goes, he'd come back from a high-level meeting and they'd put a huge file in front of him with my name written on it from my previous work there. I shot a film there in 2008, Son of a Lion. And I'd written various opinion pieces and spoken on radio, you know, criticising the Pakistani authorities, namely the Secret Service, about various things they were doing.
You offended the wrong people.
I offended the wrong people. I was surprised I was even given a visa to Pakistan, actually, for this project. But at that point, those activities from the past came to haunt me, and they said they weren't willing to take that gamble. The project was too political.
So there you are. You're sitting in Pakistan. The money's fallen down. You've got an actor sitting there with you, Sam Smith. Tell us about the next conversation.
It was a difficult conversation, obviously, that we had on the evening that we found out. I think Sam was ready to head back home, and that was understandable to me. I'd made all these promises about the type of film we're going to shoot, and we had a budget that I couldn't dream, but any filmmaker could only dream of having. We'd had a production designer flying in from London and an Australian cinematographer, and that all fell apart. So when I proposed Plan B in Afghanistan, I had some contacts there through George Giddos, who runs Yellow House in Jalalabad, and a couple of other people in Bamyan. Sam did wonder whether the same thing would happen over there.
So George Giddos, for those who don't know him, he won the Sydney Peace Prize a couple of years ago, but an Australian artist who spends part of his year in Jalalabad, which is in the heart of Taliban country. In fact, I think he likes to say that that was where the planning was done for the 9/11 attacks. You went across the border. Basically, who was shooting it then? Did you lose your Flash Harry cinematographer along the way?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no money to pay anyone. It was already very sketchy trying to attract anyone to the project because of the risks involved. And I realised I'd have to shoot it myself. It wasn't something I wanted to do. I had no interest in shooting this film myself. I wanted to direct and operating the camera and the lights and is quite a distraction when you're trying to direct actors and make your story work. But we were forced into that situation, so I had no choice, really.
Now, you're arriving in a place which has got not just the Taliban, but you've also got ISIS has made inroads into that area. People are being kidnapped, and Australian Kerry Wilson was kidnapped just about the time you went in there. Was there not a sort of a bowel-watering moment when you thought, we should not be here?
Yeah, I mean, the move to Jalalabad was nerve-wracking. I mean, for starters, that road from Kabul to Jalalabad, I don't know whether you travelled that when you were over there, but it's one of the most dangerous roads in the world. It's twists and turns around the mountains and with these very steep cliffs on the side of the road and trucks are trying to pass you and a lot of cars go over there. That was dangerous. Taliban taking pot shots at you. Potentially, that happens as skirmishes on a regular basis. And then in Jalalabad itself, I was warned, I mean, by a few contacts I had in Kabul, not to go there. There were ISIS spotters in the main street, and it was at that time quite dangerous. But I had met George Guido's team of artists, and they had reassured me that they could make it work, and that they would, that we would be under their protection. So we took that chance.
What was the story you were setting out to make?
Story is about a soldier, a thinking soldier who has moral courage and wants to make amends for killing a civilian during a raid a few years earlier.
An Australian soldier.
An Australian soldier. And so he takes it upon himself to travel back to Afghanistan as a civilian on his own without the reassurance of an army behind him, or, you know, without being armed. And he has a contact in Kabul, a former Afghan army colonel, who he's relying on to get him to the scene of this particular incident that happened.
Why would he want to go there?
He wants to meet the surviving family of the man he killed and beg forgiveness from them for having killed this unarmed civilian.
And this is where the title Jirga comes from.
Jirga refers to a tribal court. It's traditional in Pashtun culture, but has become over the years common across the whole of Afghanistan and in parts of Pakistan as well. And it involves a group of elders, usually, who all have equal position around a rug. There's a lot of democracy about it. In a sense, they have equal voting power. They discuss the particular crime or the disagreement, whether it's about land or someone that's been killed, or a missing sheep, or whatever it happens to be. And then at the end, they have a vote as to what to do about it. So in this case, Mike, the soldier, when he finally reaches the village, has to face the Jirga. And of course, the Jirgas also have been known to make decisions that end in death. So this is what he's facing in his mission.
And so in doing this, I imagine you wouldn't go to all this effort unless you were going to also try to be culturally true to the Afghan, the Pashtun traditions.
That's very true, and that's very important to me. I try and seek authenticity in the work that I'm involved in, and Sam and I both discussed this at length, that we really wanted this to be an accurate reflection of Afghan culture and the people. And so we had our story that we'd written in consultation with Afghans, and on set we also workshopped a lot of the scenes to make sure that everyone was comfortable and that what we were trying to say with the film was real.
Now, it is spectacular countryside. It's so rugged. It's so wild. It's a filmmaker's dream in some
beautiful,
ways.
Beautiful. It doesn't matter what you point the camera at in that country. It's just going to be awesome on screen. And so even though we were using a fairly low-end camera and I was shooting it and I don't really know what I'm doing, it was kind of point and shoot, put it on auto and point it at the subject, it still looks fabulous. Because of the landscape, the people, their faces, you know, I mean, the Pashtuns, they themselves have said to have, you know, been descended from Alexander the Great, or at least there was some mixing there as Alexander passed through. And so, you know, the old guys, they look like Zeus, you know, the young guys look like Apollo. They're very handsome people. And so, you know, you've got these incredible faces and the landscape. It's just stunning, and I really hope that people will start to travel there again. Westerners will come there as tourists again. There are parts of the country that are very safe, like Bamiyan. You can fly into Bamiyan, you can have a holiday, and it'll be unforgettable. I really encourage people to start thinking about that. I wouldn't go to Jalalabad at the moment.
No. So are you satisfied with the film that you made? You think it was, you were able to you know, because you're flying by the seat of your pants, you know, do you think you got the truth you were looking for?
I think the truth is there. The authenticity is there. Afghans have seen it. My Afghan friends have seen it. And they're very happy with it. And we were very fortunate to come back here and get in touch with one of Australia's leading producers who saw the film through the post-production phase. And that really helped as well. So I'm very pleased, all things considered. with the limitations we had, we weren't able to go back and reshoot anything or do pickups. We were there for a limited time under conditions that only allowed us to get 2 or 3 takes per scene. And so with all those things, with all those factors, I think the result I'm pretty happy with.
We are almost out of time, but I must mention you are a paramedic, and you have done, in the course of this, you have come across Australian veterans from the Afghan War and others in times of their own
sadly,
stress.
Yes. Yeah. It's it's been fairly common, unfortunately. You know, from Vietnam, of course. I've dealt with a lot of veterans from Vietnam who have ended up with physical and mental issues after that conflict that still have struggled with those issues, but also most recently with Afghanistan and Iraq. There are a lot of veterans out there who are doing it tough, you know, and you know, when you're coming across that a lot, you just can't escape that impact of war. You know, and I've been dealing with that impact of war with civilians in Afghanistan and Pakistan, hearing stories from drone strike survivors, and then coming back to work here in Sydney and picking up soldiers who are trying to kill themselves or suffering depression and alcohol issues. And, you know, it's inescapable. And it was a message to me, you know, I need to say something about this. We just can't keep this going.
Indeed. Well, hopefully the film will give people an opportunity to travel vicariously into these places and have a look. Benjamin Gilmore, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Hugh.
And Jirga gets its US release in July. It'll be available on Stan from next month. Benjamin Gilmore there.